How are we doing today? Great to see you all. It's great to be here in Tampa. Really looking forward to it. Really excited to be with Lovey and the rest of the staff. And been here probably 4 days now, so I don't know how much I'm going to be able to enlighten you guys, but just been in the process of evaluating our team and so on and so forth. But really excited to be here, anxious to get started. Can't wait till the players are actually able to come in so we can spend some quality time with them, get to know them, and obviously get on the field with them is one of the biggest things, so we can get to know them on and off the football field. So with that, any questions I can answer?
Talking about yourself, you can evaluate that part for sure. Why the NFL and why now?
Well, you know, it's something that I've always had my eye on. I've been head coach at Cal for the last 11 years, and this last season took a season off, and I think that was really helpful to recharge the batteries. Had a lot going on at Cal, building a brand new $450 million facility, and so this last year was refreshing. And really, you know, as far as the college things go this year, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going on, kind of a slow year in college. But, you know, when Lovey called, we had the opportunity to speak. It was something I was really excited about. You know, I have a lot of players in the NFL, so I'm pretty close with all our players throughout the NFL and very interested in it. So I watch a lot of NFL when I can to be able to watch those guys play. But I think it's a great challenge. It's very exciting. It's great to be here with the Bucks. We have a lot of challenges. We need to improve a lot. So I'm excited for the challenge. And like I said, been a head coach for the last 11 years, and before that was a coordinator, you know, Oregon, Fresno State. Spent some time in pro football in the CFL. I played pro football in Canada for 6 years, and I coached up there for 3 or 4 years, can't remember. You know, just really excited about the opportunity to be in the NFL, to be with a great organization and a great head coach like Lovey. Felt like the right fit, and really excited about it.
You've never called plays at this level. What's the adjustment from college, and any apprehension about it? What are your concerns?
No, I don't have any apprehension about it. The different rule changes are obviously going to be something, you know, as far as clock management's huge. You know, as I'm watching a lot of the games in the NFL, you know, a lot of it comes down to the last 4 minutes, 2 minutes, you know, a lot of tight games. And so clock management is a little bit different. But besides that, you know, football's football. They got 11 guys on both sides of the ball and same, you know, a lot of same coverages and so on and so forth. There are minor rules differences that obviously you have to make sure that you're on top of. And, you know, so I got a rule book on my desk I've been reading through to make sure that I got those covered. The play calling bit, I've called plays my whole life. And probably for the last 3 years as we started building that facility, I didn't feel like I could give the right amount of attention to it to get it done. And we had some very capable people who understood the offense and felt good. I was in every game planning meeting that we had, put the game plans in, and I would still call a few plays throughout the game if we got to a certain situation, hey, run this, run that type of thing, but not every play. But I've called plays my whole life, so I don't really have any apprehension about that whatsoever.
Coach, how would you describe your offensive philosophy, and are you one that wants a system to fit the players, or the players you have to adjust to the players that you have?
I think a little bit of both, actually. The players are the ones playing. Those, you know, our job is to put the guys in a position to be successful. You know, so to try to put a square peg in a round hole is not the wisest thing to do. So we want to make sure that whether we have the players on our team now, which is what we're in the process of evaluating, that can do some of the things that we want to get done, or drafting them, or free agents, or acquiring them, however we get them. But, you know, the philosophy is we want to make sure we can run the football. We want to be physical up front and run the football. We want to be diverse. We want to get speed and space, multiple personnels, formations. We will use tempo, change tempos from time to time. And, you know, so the big thing is to make sure that the player, we give the players the answers to the test, to put them in a position to be successful. Preparation is key, ball protection. You know, turnovers is probably the most telling statistic in football. And so absolutely making sure that we're protecting the football, that we play together as a team, you know, because certain games come into it where, you know, depending on the game situation, it's a situational game. And you have to win the situations, and you have to try to put yourself in a position to win those situations. Obviously, staying out of third and long, you know, it's third and three, much higher percentage than third and long, right? But how we're playing as a team, the situation of the game, I think, all dictates your approach on how you go about calling a game at that time in a game.
Coach, I think it's only been 4 days watching tape, but what is your observations of your quarterback, Mike Glennon? Is this a guy you think can win?
You know, I've seen a lot with Mike on tape over the last couple of days. I think it's really hard to know because you don't know what he was asked to do. You know, and I think until you look and say, what was he asked to do? You really don't know if he was doing the right thing or the wrong thing. But my impression, I can tell you, my first impression is he did a lot of good things. You know, he's a rookie. He took over, you know, fourth game, something like that. You know, so I think his growth and development, I saw some progression through the year with him. I think he's got a lot of poise in the pocket. I don't think he gets frustrated in the pocket. He's pretty smart with the football. You know, when things aren't there, he's throwing them away. He's making good decisions. Good decisions come in many forms, whether you're trying to complete a pass, throw the football away, manage the clock, whatever it may be. And so I see a lot of real positive things with Mike, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know him better, to be able to sit down and actually talk to him about things. You know, I think physically, I think he brings some real positives, but I also think there's some things that he can improve on. I think he realizes that. I think there's some quarterback fundamentals that we can help him with. And then physically himself, to know, I think he understands what his limitations are that we can improve on in the weight room with strength and conditioning and fast twitch and doing some things there that may help him a little bit, you know. But I think when he's out of the pocket, I think he does a good job of keeping his eyes downfield. He can throw well on the run. He can change the launch point, you know, which I think is critical, so you're not just a sitting duck in one spot all the time. And, you know, so I think he does a lot of those things. I got a chance to meet him. He came in to say hello. I was impressed with his demeanor of just being able to speak to him. He seems like a very bright guy. My understanding is he's very well respected in the locker room. And I think as a leader, he will grow too. I think when you're a rookie, you're a backup, and then you move into that role, it's kind of hard to just grab the reins and do that. But my understanding is he's very well respected in the locker room, and I think that will even continue to get better, and his leadership capabilities will improve with his comfort level. And I think after 1 year, you know, I think the more you're doing it, the more you feel like it's your team and the more comfortable you can be and the more leadership you can provide.
Cal, you've had success with running backs, Marshawn Lynch, Jahvid Best, J.J. Arrington, that were kind of compactly built but had some quickness and speed about them. You look at Doug Martin, Bobby Rainey, Mike James, you inheriting a pretty good stable of running backs to fit your scheme?
You know, it's hard to tell. As I was watching the running backs, I think there's talent there and I think there's potential. It's hard to look at the continuity from last year because of all the injuries. You know, Doug being hurt and then Mike being hurt. I think Rainey probably played the whole time, but we had some injuries last year on the offensive side of the ball, so the continuity. I've been very fortunate to be around a lot of great backs. You know, Michael Pittman played here, Maurice Morris at Oregon, you know, and then through Cal, we were really fortunate to always have two really good backs, whether it was J.J. Arrington and Marshawn Lynch were together, and then Marshawn and Justin Forsett were together, and then Marshawn and Jahvid Best, and then Jahvid Best and Shane Vereen. So we really always had a real good 1-2 punch in the backfield, and I think that's what you need. I think for one guy to carry the load the whole time, especially as physical as this level is, I think to have two and probably three backs that are quality backs that can provide different things for you. As far as third down backs are concerned, catching the ball in the backfield, pass protection, all the things to be able to create some matchups, I think, are really key, which are the things that, say, Shane Vereen brought to the table, and I think he's exhibiting that in New England. I mean, he's big with what he's doing there. Marshawn can do that, but he's kind of turned into the power guy more than that, but he had the ability to do that. So I think it's important to find guys who are versatile, that can do those type of things, and then great speed to, you know, when I say speed and space, to get out flanked and get guys in the open field that can make guys miss and be explosive with big plays.
Jeff, Lubby talked about you guys getting together and watching football in his basement up in Chicago. What was that like, and was there also any thought of maybe I'll wait another year and see if another college job opens up somewhere?
No, there really wasn't. We had a very productive meeting. I had not known Lovey really. I think I met him in passing years ago when Dilfer was here, and I came to watch Trent practice one day in camp. But we had a very productive meeting for 2 days, watching ball, very informative. You know, I probably asked him as much about defense and trying to get in his head about defense as the offense. But it was great, you know, and we hit it off. I thought the chemistry was really good, and you know, to have the opportunity to do it, you know, the college thing, you know, at that point I made the decision, my wife and I made the decision that this is an opportunity for us to do this, and no matter what head coaching thing comes up now, this is an exciting transition for us, and I'm really excited about the challenge and the opportunity to be here.
Jeff, have you had any conversations with Carl Nix, and if you have, what kind of indication has he given you about if he's going to be able to play
his health? No, I have not. As far as a guy, there's just been a few guys that have been through the building that just we bump into and say hello. I have not talked to him. I don't know. We haven't had a meeting with the trainer to give us an update on what's going on or anything like that. It's been a little early. You know, we've been having a lot to do to try to get our offensive staff put together, kind of do some evaluations, start looking at free agency, I saw you yesterday at the East-West game, you know, so there's been a lot going on. But some of the players who have been through the building have had an opportunity to speak with and just introduce. I mean, we don't get all that involved in it, but I have not had a chance to visit with him.
Speak to us about your staff and what you've got assembled to this point.
We have everything in place right now. Tim Spencer is our running back coach. Andrew Stoker is our wide receiver coach. Marcus Arroyo is our quarterback coach. We're in the process, I think, of finalizing a tight end coach, and we're in the process of solidifying an offensive line coach.
Can you talk about teaching mechanics to quarterbacks at this NFL level and how much you feel you can get a guy to progress once he's hit the NFL?
I think – and that's a good question, because I wondered how coachable they're going to be too. But in talking to all the guys, you know, I've been fortunate. I've had 6 first-round draft picks and probably 3 others that are still playing in the NFL. You know, talking to those guys, they're still hungry to learn, you know. And so fundamentally, they want to learn. They want to get better. They want to be consistent. They want to be efficient. You know, and that's the goal. And so whether it be with your drop and your footwork, getting away from the center, your ball handling, you know, your efficiency in your release or your separation in the throwing motion, all those type of things, that each one of those guys, all 6 of those guys that went in the first round, all had something we needed to work on. And so I can see a few of those things with Mike that I think we're going to be able to show him, and I think it's going to help him with a couple things. I think they're all hungry to be coached. I really do. I think they all want to be better. I think they want to be the best players they can be. And if, you know, our job as coaches is to help them do that. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to getting on the field with Mike and going over some drills and some fundamentals mechanically that may help him, whether it's just getting the ball out of, you know, 1/100th of a second faster. You know, that you got a guy bearing down on you, you know, and to get rid of the ball, you're going to take a hit, but you're going to throw a post for a touchdown, you know. So things like that, you know, I think they're all hungry. Even Aaron Rodgers and I talk about those type of things, you know, about fundamentals and stuff like that. So I think they're all hungry to improve.
Are you still in touch with him as far as having those conversations?
Yeah. We were. He lives in Chico, and I have a lake house about 45 minutes north of there. And not this 4th of July, the previous 4th of July, he was at our house just, you know, we're hanging out, talking ball, just, you know, having a good time. And I'm sure we will, you know, we'll always continue our relationship. But it's fun to talk ball with him.
Coach, how much you mentioned, you know, any time anyone ever talked about you, said this guy's cutting edge, cutting edge, cutting edge. They didn't say that as much in recent years. I mean, you mentioned the stadium thing. Do you think in some ways you got away from what you loved?
Like yes.
Calling ball plays.
Absolutely.
Burned out in that sense, as far as the.
Well, I don't know about burned out, but I know there was, you know, there were a lot of other obligations that, whether it be with fundraising or designing a building, you know, designing lockers for the new locker room or figuring out where the door is going to be, or, you know, there was a lot that went into that, you know, and that was a process. You know, not to mention the people that were living in the trees. I don't know if you heard about that, but at one point we had people living in the trees protesting the trees coming down. They were right outside my office. So they were my friends for about a year and 3 months. So woke up to them every day, banging their drums or whatever. But it was, you know, that took a lot of time. It took a lot of time, and yes, I can tell you when I would go into the offensive room, it felt like a breath of fresh air. And so that's why I'm so fired up to be in a room here, and all I'm thinking about is what to do on 3rd and 3. You know, how to get this guy blocked, how to match up with that guy, you know, so on and so forth. It is, because that's what I've done my whole life, you know, but the obligation and responsibilities of the head coach are with all the things that were going on, didn't allow me to do that as much as I like to do that. So that's why this whole thing is a huge breath of fresh air. I'm so excited about the challenge. You know, it's going to be challenging, but I can't wait to do it. You know, I'm already fired up about just every day thinking about ball 18 hours a day. You know, so it's great.
Coach, how challenging is it from a college coach to go to the NFL and you have to come up with 20 game plans? You're playing some teams twice. Does the volume of offense change in terms of what you have to have?
No, because we had a huge volume of plays in college, you know, and probably too many. You know, probably too many in college, you know, because I just keep adding plays and my staff even said, I'd even look at it and say, man, when did this thing get so huge? And they said, when you stop scripting plays is when things got huge. You know, because you just keep coming in and putting them in. Now it's our job to make sure we're repping them against this defense, that defense, so on and so forth. So we will have a volume of plays, obviously, but we're not going to go into a game with that. There's percentages that you need to stand by, you know, so that we're practicing the right things and we're efficient in the things we're doing and we're not so watered down where we do none of it well, you know. And so we'll have a system. There are tools. You know, like tell the coaches, there are tools in the toolbox. One week we may use that tool to take care of this blitz or that blitz. And next week we may not be getting that blitz, you know, whatever it may be. You know, so, no, 20 games, you know, I coach in the CFL. You know, we had the same amount of games game plan-wise. We played teams 2 times, 3 times, maybe even 4 times if you play them in the preseason, twice in the regular season and once in the playoffs or the Grey Cup. You know, so that's not, now it's a longer season. Admittedly, it's a longer season, but it's all good. We'll have plenty of offense to get done. It's not about the amount of offense. It's about how productive we are with the things that we are doing and make sure that we don't overdo it to where we can't do it efficiently.
Jeff, you're working for a defensive head coach, a guy who likes defense.
Say that one more time, I'm sorry.
You're working for a head coach who loves defense. He's a defensive guy, probably likes ball control, time possession. Do you have to adjust your offense, or how much do you have to consult with him in putting together your game plans to fit what he wants to do overall as a team?
Well, I think anytime you have to work well together as far as a team's concerned, and the ultimate goal is to score one more point than the other team. But I like scoring many more points than the other team. So that's the objective. But you can't, you know, you have to be smart about it too. I mean, if we're in a situation and we need to use clock then we need to use clock. You know, we can't be foolish about it. It's a team game, and the objective is winning. Whatever that may be, whatever it calls for, it's winning. You know, so if they're scoring a lot of points, we better score a lot of points. We like to score a lot of points every week. You know, but reality says that there are going to be huge challenges. There's going to be probably some 13-10 games, and there's probably going to be some 35-33 games. There's going to be those type of things. Lovey probably wouldn't like me saying 33. He probably wouldn't like that many points scored. But it's whatever it takes. But no, coming in here, there are no reins saying just don't mess it up. That's not the intent of coming in here. The intent of coming in here is to do what we can do offensively to be successful every play, every series, every quarter, every half, every game.
Can you be successful offensively at any level, particularly this level, without what is considered like an elite or franchise quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think it's a quarterback league. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, football is not just in the NFL, but everywhere, you know, in college. I mean, the more efficient your quarterback is, the more productive your quarterback is. But that being said, it's not just the quarterback. You know, it's the cast of people around him as well. You know, you could have a great quarterback, and if you don't have the cast around him, it's very difficult. But, you know, to have that guy that does his part, that can make plays, and have a cast of people around him where that we can utilize our talents, you know, be it from the backfield, the tight end, the wide receivers, whatever it may be, I think it's critical to have a cast of people who are making plays to help the quarterback be successful, quarterback help them be successful by being cerebral of putting them in the right play, you know, getting them in and out of the right plays and those type. You know, that's a big job of the quarterback as well. Make sure that all the other guys, all the other 10 guys on the offense are in a position to be successful.
Given the change with all the rules, and maybe over the last 10 years it's gone, the league has gone from a 2-to-1 ratio run versus pass to now 2-to-1 ratio with pass.
Right.
Do you have to have someone more than a quarterback that manages the game? You used to be able to have success with that, but has it gotten to the point you have to have that quarterback that really drives that offense?
I think it's leaning that way. Yeah, I think it's definitely leaning that way. But I think you still have to be able to run the football. You know, when you get inside the red zone, you get inside the 10 and the 5-yard line, you can throw it all the way down there, but unless you can bang it in, you know, not everything can be a pass, you know. So even though the football in general is going to that, spread it out, spread the field, speed and space, throw the ball. You know, because even though they're throwing it to the bubbles and all those things out there, those are extended run plays in essence. You know, but I think an identity of a team of being able to run the ball downhill with different run schemes, you know, inside, outside, perimeter, traps, you know, all the different things that we want to do on offense, I still think you have got to be able to have an identity of running the football, whatever the ratio may be, and it may change from week to week on, like I said, the game situation. But I don't think there's any doubt that you have to be effective throwing the football to be successful.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, guys. Nice to meet you all.